with you concerning the recent trouble at your dam. She blinked. The dam, you say? A crowd was gathering about them. Dunk could feel unfriendly eyes upon him. The stream, he said, the Cheki water. Your ladyship built a dam across it. Oh, I am quite sure I haven't, she replied. Why, I have been at my devotions all morning, sir. Dunk heard Sir Lucas chuckle. I did not mean to say that your ladyship built the dam herself, only that without that water, all our crops will die. The small folk have beans and barley in the fields and melons.
Truly? I am very fond of melons. Her small mouth made a happy bow. What sort of melons are they?
Dunk glanced uneasily at the ring of faces and felt his own face growing hot. Something is amiss here. The Long Inch is playing me for a fool. M'lady, could we continue our discussion in some more private place?
A silver says the great oaf means to bed her,
someone japed, and a roar of laughter went up all around him. The lady cringed away, half in terror, and raised both hands to shield her face. One of the septas moved quickly to her side and put a protective arm around her shoulders.
And what is all this merriment?
The voice cut through the laughter, cool and firm.
Will no one share the jape? Sir Knight, why are you troubling my good sister?
It was the girl he had seen earlier at the archery butts. She had a quiver of arrows on one hip and held a longbow that was just as tall as she was, which wasn't very tall. If Dunk was shy an inch of 7 feet, the archer was shy an inch of 5. He could have spanned her waist with his two hands. Her red hair was bound up in a braid so long it brushed past her thighs, and she had a dimpled chin, a snub nose, and a light spray of freckles across her cheeks.
Forgive us, Lady Rowan.
The speaker was a pretty young lord with the Caswell centaur embroidered on his doublet.
This great oaf took the Lady Hellicent for you.
Dunk looked from one lady to the other. You are the Red Widow? He heard himself blurt out.
But you're too young.
The girl tossed her longbow to the lanky lad he'd seen her shooting with.
I am 25, as it happens. Or was it small, you meant to say?
Pretty. It was pretty. Dunk did not know where that came from, but he was glad it came. He liked her nose and the strawberry blonde color of her hair and the small but well-shaped breasts beneath her leather jerkin.
I thought that you'd be... I mean... They said you were 4 times a widow, so...
My first husband died when I was 10. He was 12, my father's squire, ridden down upon the red grass field. My husbands seldom linger long, I fear. The last died in the spring. That was what they always said of those who had perished during the great spring sickness 2 years past. He died in the spring. Many tens of thousands had died in the spring, among them a wise old king and 2 young princes full of promise.
I am sorry for all your losses, m'lady. A gallantry, you lunk, give her a gallantry. I want to say your gown.
She glanced down at her boots and breeches, loose linen tunic and leather jerkin. I wear no gown.
Your hair, I meant, it's soft and...
And how would you know that, sir? If you had ever touched my hair, I should think that I might remember.
Not soft, Dunk said miserably. Red, I meant to say, your hair is very red.
Very red, sir? Oh, not as red as your face, I hope. She laughed, and the onlookers laughed with her. All but Sir Lucas Longinch.
My lady, he broke in, this man is one of Standfast's sellswords. He was with Bennis of the Brown Shield when he attacked your diggers at the dam and carved up Wolmer's face. Old Oscree sent him to treat with you.
He did, my lady. I am called Sir Duncan the Tall.
Sir Duncan the Dim, more like,
said a bearded knight who wore the threefold thunderbolt of Laygood. More guffaw sounded. Even Lady Hellicent had recovered herself enough to give a chuckle.
Did the courtesy of Coldmoat die with my lord father?
The girl asked.
No, not a girl, a woman grown.
How did Sir Duncan come to make such an error, I wonder?
Dunk gave Inchfield an evil look.
The fault was mine.
Was it?
The Red Widow looked Dunk over from his heels up to his head, though her gaze lingered longest on his chest.
A tree and shooting star. I have never seen those arms before.
She touched his tunic, tracing a limb of his elm tree with 2 fingers.
And painted, not sewn. The Dornish paint their silks, I've heard, but you look too big to be a Dornishman.
Not all Dornishmen are small, m'lady.
Dunk could feel her fingers through the silk. Her hand was freckled, too.
I'll bet she's freckled all over.
His mouth was oddly dry.
I spent a year in Dorne.
Do all the oaks grow so tall there? She said, as her fingers traced a tree limb around his heart.
It's meant to be an elm, m'lady.
I shall remember. She drew her hand back solemn. The ward is too hot and dusty for a conversation. Septon, show Sir Duncan to my audience chamber.
It would be my great pleasure, good sister.
Our guest will have a thirst. You may send for a flagon of wine as well.
Must I? The fat man beamed. Well, if it please you.
I will join you as soon as I have changed. Unhooking her belt and quiver, she handed them to her companion. I want Maester Carrick as well. Sir Lucas, go ask him to attend me.
I will bring him at once, my lady, said Lucas the Long Inch.
The look she gave her castellan was cool. No need. I know you have many duties to perform about the castle. It will suffice if you send Maester Carrick to my chambers.
My lady,
Dunk called after her.
My squire was made to wait by the gates. Might he join us as well?
Your squire? When she smiled, she looked a girl of 5 and 10, not a woman 5 and 20.
A pretty girl, full of mischief and laughter.
If it please you, certainly. Don't drink the wine, sir, Egg whispered to him as they waited with the septon in her audience chamber. The stone floors were covered with sweet-smelling rushes. The walls hung with tapestries of tourney scenes and battles. Dunk snorted.
She has no need to poison me, he whispered back. She thinks I'm some great lout with peas porridge between his ears, you mean.
As it happens, my good sister likes peas porridge, said Septon Sefton, as he reappeared with a flagon of wine, a flagon of water, and 3 cups. Yes, yes, I heard. I'm fat, not deaf. He filled 2 cups with wine and 1 with water. The 3rd he gave to Egg, who gave it a long, dubious look and put it aside. The Septon took no notice. This is an Arbor vintage, he was telling Dunk. Very fine, and the poison gives it a special piquance. He winked at Egg. I seldom touch the grape myself, but I have heard. He handed Dunk a cup. The wine was lush and sweet, but Dunk sipped it gingerly, and only after the Septon had quaffed down half of his in 3 big, lip-smacking gulps. Egg crossed his arms and continued to ignore his water. She does like peas porridge, the Septon said. And you as well, sir. I know my own good sister. When I first saw you in the yard, I half hoped you were some suitor come from King's Landing to seek my lady's hand. Dunk furrowed his brow.
How did you know I was from King's Landing, Septon?
Kingslanders have a certain way of speaking. The Septon took a gulp of wine, sloshed it about his mouth, swallowed, and sighed with pleasure. I have served there many years, attending our High Septon in the great Sept of Baelor, he sighed. You would not know the city since this spring. The fire's changed it. A quarter of the house is gone, and another quarter empty. The rats are gone as well. That is the queerest thing. I never thought to see a city without rats.
Dunk had heard that, too. Were you there during the great spring sickness?
Oh, indeed. A dreadful time, sir, dreadful. Strong men would wake healthy at the break of day and be dead by evenfall. So many died so quickly there was no time to bury them. They piled them in the dragon pit instead, and when the corpses were 10 feet deep, Lord Rivers commanded the pyromancers to burn them. The light of the fire shone through the windows, as it did of yore when living dragons still nested beneath the dome. By night you could see the glow all through the city, the dark green glow of wildfire. The color green still haunts me to this day. They say the spring was bad in Lannisport and worse in Old Town, but in King's Landing it cut down 4 of 10. Neither young nor old were spared, nor rich nor poor, nor great nor humble. Our good High Septon was taken, the God's own voice on earth, with 1/3 of the most devout and near all our silent sisters. His Grace King Daeron, sweet Mataris, and bold Valar the Hand. Oh, it was a dreadful time. By the end, half the city was praying to the stranger.
He had another drink.
And where were you, sir?
In Dorne, said Dunk.
Thank the mother for her mercy, then.
The great spring sickness had never come to Dorne, perhaps because the Dornish had closed their borders and their ports. as had the Arryns of the Vale, who had also been spared.
All this talk of death is enough to put a man off wine, but cheer is hard to come by in such times as we are living. The drought endures for all our prayers. The King's Wood is one great tinderbox, and fires rage there night and day.
Bitter Steel and the sons of Demon Blackfire are hatching plots in Tirosh, and Dagon Greyjoy's Krakens prowl the sunset sea like wolves, raiding as far south as the Arbor. They carried off half the wealth of Fair Isle, it said, and 100 women, too. Lord Farman is repairing his defenses. Well, that strikes me as akin to the man who claps his pregnant daughter in a chastity belt when her belly's big as mine. Lord Bracken is dying slowly on the Trident, and his eldest son perished in the spring. That means Ser Otho must succeed. The Blackwoods will never stomach the brute of Bracken as a neighbor. It will mean war.
Dunk knew about the ancient enmity between the Blackwoods and the Brackens.
Won't their liege lord force a peace?
Alas, said Septon Sefton, Lord Tully is a boy of 8, surrounded by women. River Run will do little, and King Ares will do less. Unless some maester writes a book about it, the whole matter may escape his royal notice. Lord Rivers is not like to let any Brackens in to see him. Pray recall, our hand was born half Blackwood. If he acts at all, it will be only to help his cousins bring the brute to bay. The mother marked Lord Rivers on the day that he was born, and Bittersteel marked him once again upon the Redgrass Field.
Dunk knew he meant Bloodraven. Brynden Rivers was the hand's true name. His mother had been a Blackwood, his father King Aegon IV. The fat man drank his wine and rattled on.
As for Ares, his grace cares more for old scrolls and dusty prophecies than for lords and laws. He will not even bestir himself to sire an heir. Queen Eleanor prays daily at the great sept, beseeching the mother above to bless her with a child, yet she remains a maid. Ares keeps his own apartments, and it is said that he would sooner take a book to bed than any woman.
He filled his cup again.
Make no mistake, 'tis Lord Rivers who rules us with his spells and spies. There is no one to oppose him. Prince Maker sulks at Summer Hall, nursing his grievances against his royal brother. Prince Rhaegal is as meek as he is mad, and his children are, well, children. Friends and favorites of Lord Rivers fill every office. The lords of the small council lick his hand, and this new grand maester is as steeped in sorcery as he is. The Red Keep is garrisoned by raven's teeth, and no man sees the king without his leave.
Dunk shifted uncomfortably in his seat.
How many eyes does Lord Bloodraven have? 1,000 eyes and 1.
He hoped the king's hand did not have 1,000 ears and 1 as well. Some of what Septon Sefton was saying sounded treasonous. He glanced at Egg to see how he was taking all of this. The boy was struggling with all his might to hold his tongue. The Septon pushed himself to his feet.
My good sister will be a while yet. As with all great ladies, the first 10 gowns she tries will be found not to suit her mood. Will you take more wine?
Without waiting for an answer, he refilled both cups.
The lady I mistook, said Dunk, anxious to speak of something else. Is she your sister?
We are all children of the 7, sir, but apart from that, dear me, no. Lady Hellicent was sister to Sir Roland Uffering, Lady Rowan's 4th husband, who died in the spring. My brother was his predecessor, Sir Simon Stanton, who had the great misfortune to choke upon a chicken bone. Coldmoat crawls with revenants, it must be said. The husbands die, yet their kin remain, to drink my lady's wines and eat her sweetmeats, like a plague of plump pink locusts done up in silk and velvet.
He wiped his mouth.
And yet she must wed again, and soon.
Must, said Dunk.
Her lord father's will demands it. Lord Wyman wanted grandsons to carry on his line. When he sickened, he tried to wed her to the Long Inch, so he might die knowing that she had a strong man to protect her. But Rowan refused to have him. His lordship took his vengeance in his will. If she remains unwed on the 2nd anniversary of her father's passing, Coldmoat and its lands pass to his cousin Wendell. Perhaps you glimpsed him in the yard, a short man with a goiter on his neck, much given to flatulence. Though it is small of me to say so. I am cursed with excess wind myself. Be that as it may. Sir Wendell is grasping and stupid, but his lady wife is Lord Rowan's sister. And damnably fertile. That cannot be denied. She whelps as often as she farts. Their sons are quite as bad as he is, their daughters worse, and all of them have begun to count the days. Lord Rowan has upheld the will, so her ladyship has only till the next new moon.
Why has she waited so long? Dunk wondered aloud. The Septon shrugged.
If truth be told, there has been a dearth of suitors. My good sister is not hard to look upon, you will have noticed, and a stout castle and broad lands add to her charms. You would think that younger sons and landless knights would swarm about her ladyship like flies. You would be wrong. The four dead husbands make them wary, and there are those who will say that she is barren, too. Though never in her hearing, unless they yearn to see the inside of a crow cage. She has carried two children to term, a boy and a girl, but neither lived to see a name day. Those few who are not put off by talk of poisonings and sorcery want no part of the long inch. Lord Wyman charged him on his deathbed to protect his daughter from unworthy suitors, which he has taken to mean all suitors. Any man who means to have her hand would need to face his sword first.
He finished his wine and set the cup aside.
That is not to say there has been no one. Clayton Caswell and Simon Laygood have been the most persistent, though they seem more interested in her lands than in her person. Were I given to wagering, I should place my gold on Gerald Lannister. He has yet to put in an appearance, but they say he is golden-haired and quick of wit and more than 6 feet tall.
And Lady Webber is much taken with his letters. The lady in question stood in the doorway beside a homely young maester with a great hooked nose. You would lose your wager, good brother. Gerald will never willingly forsake the pleasures of Lannisport and the splendor of Casterly Rock for some little lordship. He has more influence as Lord Tybalt's brother and adviser than he could ever hope for as my husband. As for the others, Sir Simon would need to sell off half my land to pay his debts, and Sir Clayton trembles like a leaf whenever the long inch deigns to look his way. Besides, he is prettier than I am. And you, Septon, have the biggest mouth in Westeros.
A large belly requires a large mouth, said Septon Sefton,
utterly unabashed.
Else it soon becomes a small one.
Are you the Red Widow?
Egg asked, astonished.
I'm near as tall as you are.
Another boy made that same observation not half a year ago. I sent him to the rack to make him taller. When Lady Rowan settled onto the high seat on the dais, she pulled her braid forward over her left shoulder. It was so long that the end of it lay coiled in her lap, like a sleeping cat. Sir Duncan, I should not have teased you in the yard, when you were trying so hard to be gracious. It was only that you blushed so red. Was there no girl to tease you in the village where you grew so tall?
The village was King's Landing.
He did not mention Fleabottom.
There were girls, but...
The sort of teasing that went on in Fleabottom sometimes involved cutting off a toe. I expect they were afraid to tease you, Lady Rowan stroked her braid. No doubt they were frightened of your size. Do not think ill of Lady Hellicent, I pray you. My good sister is a simple creature, but she has no harm in her. For all her piety, she could not dress herself without her septas.
It was not her doing. The mistake was mine.
You lie most gallantly. I know it was Sir Lucas. He is a man of cruel humors, and you offended him on sight.
How?
Dunk said, puzzled.
I never did him any harm.
She smiled a smile that made him wish she were plainer. I saw you standing with him. You're taller by a hand, or near enough. It has been a long while since Sir Lucas met anyone he could not look down on. How old are you, sir?
Near 20, if it please, my lady.
Dunk liked the ring of 20, though most like he was a year younger, maybe 2. No one knew for certain, least of all him. He must have had a mother and a father like everybody else, but he'd never known them, not even their names, and no one in Fleabottom had ever cared much when he'd been born or to whom. Are you as strong as you appear?
How strong do I appear, my lady?
Oh, strong enough to annoy Sir Lucas. He is my castellan, though not by choice. Like Coldmoat, he is a legacy of my father. Did you come to knighthood on some battlefield, Sir Duncan? Your speech suggests that you were not born of noble blood, if you will forgive my saying so.
I was born of gutter blood. A hedge knight named Sir Arlen of Pennytree took me on to squire for him when I was just a boy.
He taught me chivalry and the arts of war.
And this same Sarah Arlen knighted you?
Dunk shuffled his feet. One of his boots was half unlaced, he saw.
No one else was like to do it.
Where is Sarah Arlen now?
He died.
He raised his eyes. He could lace his boot up later.
I buried him on a hillside.
Did he fall valiantly in battle?
There were rains. He caught a chill.
Old men are frail, I know. I learned that from my second husband. I was 13 when we wed. He would have been 55 on his next name day, had he lived long enough to see it. When he was half a year in the ground, I gave him a little son, but the stranger came for him as well. The Septon said his father wanted him beside him. What do you think, Sir?
Well, Dunk said hesitantly, that might be, m'lady.
Nonsense, she said. The boy was born too weak, such a tiny thing. He scarce had strength enough to nurse. Still, the gods gave his father 55 years. You would think they might have granted more than 3 days to the son.
You would.
Dunk knew little and less about the gods. He went to Sept sometimes and prayed to the warrior to lend strength to his arms, but elsewise he let the 7 be.
I am sorry your Sir Arlen died, she said, and sorrier still that you took service with Sir Eustace. All old men are not the same, Sir Duncan. You would do well to go home to Pennytree.
I have no home but where I swear my sword.
Dunk had never seen Pennytree. He couldn't even say if it was in the reach.
Swear it here, then. The times are uncertain. I have need of knights. You look as though you have a healthy appetite, Sir Duncan. How many chickens can you eat? At Coldmoat, you would have your fill of warm pink meat and sweet fruit tarts. Your squire looks in need of sustenance as well. He is so scrawny that all his hair has fallen out. We'll have him share a cell with other boys of his own age. He'll like that. My master-at-arms can train him in all the arts of war.
I train him, said Dunk defensively.
And who else? Bennis? Old Oscree? The chickens?
There had been days when Dunk had set egg to chasing chickens.
It helps make him quicker, he thought.
But he knew that if he said it, she would laugh. She was distracting him, with her snub nose and her freckles. Dunk had to remind himself of why Sir Eustace had sent him here.
My sword is sworn to my lord of Oscree, m'lady, he said, and that's the way it is.
So be it, sir. Let us speak of less pleasant matters.
Lady Rowan gave her braid a tug.
We do not suffer attacks on Coldmoat or its people, so tell me why I should not have you sewn in a sack.
I come to parley, he reminded her, and I have drunk your wine.
The taste still lingered in his mouth, rich and sweet. So far it had not poisoned him. Perhaps it was the wine that made him bold.
And you don't have a sack big enough for me.
To his relief, Egg's jape made her smile.
I have several that are big enough for Bennis, though. Maester Carrick says Wolmer's face was sliced open almost to the bone.
Sir Bennis lost his temper with the man, m'lady. Sir Eustace sent me here to pay the blood price.
The blood price? She laughed. He is an old man, I know, but I had not realized that he was so old as that. Does he think we are living in the age of heroes? When a man's life was reckoned to be worth no more than a sack of silver?
The digger was not killed, m'lady,
Dunk reminded her.
No one was killed that I saw. His face was cut, is all.
Her fingers danced idly along her braid.
How much does Sir Eustace reckon Woolmer's cheek to be worth, pray?
1 silver stag, and 3 for you, m'lady.
Sir Eustace sets a niggard's price upon my honor, though 3 silvers are better than 3 chickens, I grant you. He would do better to deliver Bennis up to me for chastisement.
Would this involve that sack you mentioned?
It might.
She coiled her braid around one hand.
Oscree can keep his silver. Only blood can pay for blood.
Well, said Dunk, it may be as you say, m'lady, but why not send for that man that Bennis cut and ask him if he'd sooner have a silver stag or Bennis in a sack?
Oh, he'd pick the silver, if he couldn't have both. I don't doubt that, sir. It is not his choice to make. This is about the lion and the spider now, not some peasant's cheek. It is Bennis I want, and Bennis I shall have. No one rides onto my lands, does harm to one of mine, and escapes to laugh about it.
Your ladyship rode onto Standfast land, and did harm of one of Sir Eustace's,
Dunk said, before he stopped to think about it.
Did I?
She tugged her braid again.
If you mean the sheep-stealer, the man was notorious. I had 2x complained to Oscree, yet he did nothing. I do not ask 3x.
The king's law grants me the power of pit and gallows.
It was Egg who answered her.
On your own lands, the boy insisted. The king's law gives lords the power of pit and gallows on their own lands.
Clever boy, she said. If you know that much, you will also know that landed knights have no right to punish without their liege lord's leave. Sir Eustace holds Standfast of Lord Rowan.
Bennis broke the king's peace when he drew blood, and must answer for it.
She looked to Dunk.
If Sir Eustace will deliver Bennis to me, I'll slit his nose, and that will be the end of it. If I must come and take him, I make no such promise.
Dunk had a sudden sick feeling in the pit of his stomach.
I will tell him, but he won't give up Sir Bennis.
He hesitated.
The dam was the cause of all the trouble. If your ladyship would consent to take it down,
impossible, declared the young maester by Lady Rowan's side. Coldmoat supports 20 times as many small folk as does Standfast. Her ladyship has fields of wheat and corn and barley, all dying from the drought. She has half a dozen orchards, apples and apricots and 3 kinds of pears. She has cows about to calf, 500 head of black-nosed sheep, and she breeds the finest horses in the reach. We have 12 mares about to foal.
Sir Eustace has sheep, too, Dunk said. He has melons in the fields, beans and barleycorn and—
You were taking water for the moat, Egg said loudly.
I was getting to the moat, Dunk thought.
The moat is essential to Coldmoat's defenses, the maester insisted. Do you suggest that Lady Rowan leave herself open to attack in such uncertain times as these?
Well, Dunk said slowly, a dry moat is still a moat, and Milady has strong walls with ample men to defend them.
Sir Duncan, Lady Rowan said, I was 10 years old when the Black Dragon rose. I begged my father not to put himself at risk, or at least to leave my husband. Who would protect me if both my men were gone? So he took me up onto the ramparts and pointed out Coldmoat's strong points. Keep them strong, he said, and they will keep you safe. If you see to your defenses, no man may do you harm. The first thing he pointed at was the moat. She stroked her cheek with the tail of her braid. My first husband perished on the red grass field. My father found me others, but the stranger took them too. I no longer trust in men, no matter how ample they may seem. I trust in stone and steel and water. I trust in moats, sir, and mine will not go dry.
What your father said, that's well and good, said Dunk. But it doesn't give you the right to take Osprey water.
She tugged her braid.
I suppose Sir Eustace told you that the stream was his.
For 1,000 years, said Dunk. It's named the Checky Water, that's plain.
So it is. She tugged again, once, twice, thrice. As the river is called the Mander, though the Manderleys were driven from its banks 1,000 years ago. High Garden is still High Garden, though the last gardener died on the field of fire. Casterly Rock teems with Lannisters, and nowhere a Casterly to be found. The world changes, sir. This Checky Water rises in the Horseshoe Hills, which were wholly mine when last I looked. The water is mine as well. Maester Carrick, show him.
The maester descended from the dais. He could not have been much older than Dunk, but in his gray robes and chain collar, he had an air of somber wisdom that belied his years. In his hands was an old parchment.
See for yourself, sir, he said as he unrolled it and offered it to Dunk.
Dunk the Lunk, thick as a castle wall.
He felt his cheeks reddening again. Gingerly, he took the parchment from the maester and scowled at the writing. Not a word of it was intelligible to him, but he knew the wax seal beneath the ornate signature, the 3-headed dragon of House Targaryen.
The king's seal.
He was looking at a royal decree of some sort. Dunk moved his head from side to side so they would think that he was reading.
There's a word here I can't make out, he muttered after a moment. Egg, come have a look. You have sharper eyes than me.
The boy darted to his side.
Which word, sir?
Dunk pointed.
That one?
Oh.
Egg read quickly, then raised his eyes to Dunk's and gave a little nod.
It is her stream. She has a paper.
Dunk felt as though he'd been punched in the stomach.
The king's own seal. There must be some mistake. The old man's sons died in service to the king. Why would his grace take his stream away?
If King Daeron had been a less forgiving man, he should have lost his head as well.
For half a heartbeat, Dunk was lost.
What do you mean?
She means, said Maester Carrick, that Sir Eustace Osprey is a rebel and a traitor.
Sir Eustace chose the black dragon over the red in the hope that a Blackfyre king might restore the lands and castles that the Oskrees had lost under the Targaryens, Lady Rowan said. Chiefly, he wanted Coldmoat. His sons paid for his treason with their life's blood. When he brought their bones home and delivered his daughter to the king's men for a hostage, his wife threw herself from the top of Standfast Tower. Did Sir Eustace tell you that? Her smile was sad. No, I did not think so.
The Black Dragon. You swore your sword to a traitor, Lunk. You ate a traitor's bread and slept beneath a rebel's roof. My lady, he said, groping. The Black Dragon. That was 15 years ago. This is now, and there's a drought. Even if he was a rebel once, Sir Eustace still needs water.
The Red Widow rose and smoothed her skirts. He had best pray for rain, then. That was when Dunk recalled Oskry's parting words in the wood.
If you will not grant him a share of the water for his own sake, do it for his son.
His son?
Adam. He served here as your father's page and squire.
Lady Rowan's face was stone. Come closer. He did not know what else to do but to obey. The dais added a good foot to her height, yet even so, Dunk towered over her. Kneel, she said. He did. The slap she gave him had all her strength behind it, and she was stronger than she looked. His cheek burned, and he could taste blood in his mouth from a broken lip. But she hadn't truly hurt him. For a moment, all Dunk could think of was grabbing her by that long red braid and pulling her across his lap to slap her arse, as you would a spoiled child.
If I do, she'll scream, though, and 20 knights will come bursting in to kill me.
You dare appeal to me in Adam's name? Her nostrils flared. Remove yourself from Coldmoat, sir, at once.
I never meant—
Go, or I will find a sack large enough for you, if I have to sew one up myself. Tell Sir Eustace to bring me Bennis of the Brown Shield by the morrow, else I will come for him myself with fire and sword. Do you understand me? Fire and sword. Septon Sefton took Dunk's arm and pulled him quickly from the room. Egg followed close behind them. That was most unwise, sir, the fat Septon whispered, and he led them to the steps. Most unwise. To mention Adam Oskry.
Sir Eustace told me she was fond of the boy.
Fond? The Septon huffed heavily. She loved the boy, and him her. It never went beyond a kiss or two, but it was Adam she wept for after the red grass field, not the husband she hardly knew. She blames Sir Eustace for his death, and rightly so. The boy was 12. Dunk knew what it was to bear a wound. Whenever someone spoke of Ashford Meadow, he thought of the 3 good men who'd died to save his foot, and it never failed to hurt.
Tell my lady that it was not my wish to hurt her. Beg her pardon.
I shall do all I can, sir, Septon Sefton said. But tell Sir Eustace to bring her Bennis, and quickly. Elsewise it will go hard on him. It will go very hard. Not until the walls and towers of Coldmoat had vanished in the west behind them did Dunk turn to Egg and say,
What words were written on that paper?
It was a grant of rights, sir, to Lord Wyman Webber from the king. For his leal service in the late rebellion, Lord Wyman and his descendants were granted all rights to the Checky Water, from where it rises in the Horseshoe Hills, to the shores of Leafy Lake. It also said that Lord Wyman and his descendants should have the right to take red deer and boar and rabbits in Watts Wood whenever it pleased them, and to cut 20 trees from the wood each year.
The boy cleared his throat.
The grant was only for a time, though. The paper said that if Sir Eustace were to die without a male heir of his body, Standfast would revert to the crown, and Lord Webber's privileges would end.
They were the marshals of the North March for 1,000 years. All they left the old man was a tower to die in.
And his head, said Egg. His grace did leave him his head, sir, even though he was a rebel.
Dunk gave the boy a look. Would you have taken it?
Egg had to think about it. Sometimes at court I would serve the king's small council. They used to fight about it. Uncle Baylor said that clemency was best when dealing with an honorable foe. If a defeated man believes he will be pardoned, he may lay down his sword and bend the knee. Elsewise he will fight on to the death and slay more loyal men and innocents.
But Lord Bloodraven said that when you pardon rebels, you only plant the seeds of the next rebellion.
His voice was full of doubts.
Why would Sir Eustace rise against King Daeron? He was a good king, everybody says so. He brought Dorne into the realm and made the Dornishmen our friends.
You would have to ask Sir Eustace, Egg. Dunk thought he knew the answer, but it was not one the boy would want to hear. He wanted a castle with a lion on the gatehouse, but all he got were graves among the blackberries. When you swore a man your sword, you promised to serve and obey, to fight for him at need, not to pry into his affairs and question his allegiances. But Sir Eustace had played him for a fool. He said his sons died fighting for the king, and let me believe this dream was his. Night caught them in Watts Wood. That was Dunk's fault. He should have gone the straight way home, the way they'd gone, but instead he'd taken them north for another look at the dam. He had half a thought to try and tear the thing apart with his bare hands, but the Seven and Sir Lucas Longinch did not prove so obliging. When they reached the dam, they found it guarded by a pair of crossbowmen with spider badges sewn on their jerkins. One sat with his bare feet in the stolen water. Dunk could gladly have throttled him for that alone, but the man heard them coming and was quick to snatch up his bow. His fellow, even quicker, had a quarrel knocked and ready. The best that Dunk could do was scowl at them threateningly. After that, there was naught to do but retrace their steps. Dunk did not know these lands as well as Sir Benis did. It would have been humiliating to get lost in a wood as small as Watts. By the time they splashed across the stream, the sun was low on the horizon, and the first stars were coming out, along with clouds of mites. Amongst the tall black trees, Egg found his tongue again.
"Sir, that fat septon said my father sulks in Summerhall."
"Words are wind."
"My father doesn't sulk."
"Well," said Dunk, "he might. You sulk."
"I do not, sir,"
he frowned.
"Do I?"
"Some, not too often, though. Elsewise I'd clout you in the ear more than I do."
"You clouted me in the ear at the gate."
"That was half a clout at best. If I ever give you a whole clout, you'll know it."
"The Red Widow gave you a whole clout."
Dunk touched his swollen lip. "You don't need to sound so pleased about it." "No one ever clouted your father in the ear, though. Maybe that's why Prince Maker is the way he is. When the king named Lord Bloodraven his hand, your lord father refused to be part of his council and departed King's Landing for his own seat," he reminded Egg. "He has been at Summerhall for a year and half of another. What do you call that if not sulking?"
"I call it being wroth,"
Egg declared loftily.
"His grace should have made my father hand. He's his brother and the finest battle commander in the realm since Uncle Baelor died. Lord Bloodraven's not even a real lord. That's just some stupid courtesy. He's a sorcerer and baseborn besides."
"Bastardborn, not baseborn." Bloodraven might not be a real lord, but he was noble on both sides. His mother had been one of the many mistresses of King Aegon the Unworthy. Aegon's bastards had been the bane of the Seven Kingdoms ever since the old king died. He had legitimized the lot upon his deathbed. Not only the great bastards like Bloodraven, Bittersteel, and Demon Blackfire, whose mothers had been ladies, but even the lesser ones he'd fathered on whores and tavern wenches, merchants' daughters, mummers' maidens, and every pretty peasant girl who chanced to catch his eye. Fire and blood were the words of House Targaryen, but Dunk once heard Ser Arlen say that Aegon's should have been, "Wash her and bring her to my bed." "King Aegon washed Bloodraven clean of bastardy," he reminded Egg, "the same as he did the rest of them."
"The old High Septon told my father that king's laws are one thing and the laws of the gods another,"
the boy said stubbornly.
"Trueborn children are made in a marriage bed and blessed by the father and the mother, but bastards are born of lust and weakness," he said. "King Aegon decreed that his bastards were not bastards, but he could not change their nature. The High Septon said all bastards are born to betrayal. Demon Blackfire, Bittersteel, even Bloodraven. Lord Rivers was more cunning than the other two, he said, but in the end he would prove himself a traitor too. The High Septon counseled my father never to put any trust in him, nor in any other bastards, great or small."
Born to betrayal, Dunk thought. Born of lust and weakness. Never to be trusted, great or small. "Egg," he said, "didn't you ever think that I might be a bastard?"
"You, sir?"
That took the boy aback.
You are not.
I might be. I never knew my mother, or what became of her. Maybe I was born too big and killed her. Most like she was some whore or tavern girl. You don't find highborn ladies down in Flea Bottom. And if she ever wed my father, well, what became of him then?
Dunk did not like to be reminded of his life before Ser Arlen found him.
There was a pot shop in King's Landing where I used to sell them rats and cats and pigeons for the brown. The cook always claimed my father was some thief or cutpurse. Most like I saw him hanged, he used to tell me. But maybe they just sent him to the wall. When I was squiring for Ser Arlen, I would ask him if we couldn't go up that way someday, to take service at Winterfell or some other northern castle. I had this notion that if I could only reach the wall, might be I'd come on some old man, a real tall man who looked like me. We never went, though. Ser Arlen said there were no hedges in the north, and all the woods were full of wolves.
He shook his head.
The long and short of it is, most like you're squiring for a bastard.
For once, Egg had nothing to say. The gloom was deepening around them. Lantern bugs moved slowly through the trees, their little lights like so many drifting stars. There were stars in the sky as well, more stars than any man could ever hope to count, even if he lived to be as old as King Jaehaerys. Dunk need only lift his eyes to find familiar friends, the stallion and the sow, the king's crown and the crone's lantern, the galley ghost and moonmaid. But there were clouds to the north, and the blue eye of the ice dragon was lost to him, the blue eye that pointed north. The moon had risen by the time they came to Standfast, standing dark and tall atop its hill. A pale yellow light was spilling from the tower's upper windows, he saw. Most nights Ser Eustace sought his bed as soon as he had supped, but not tonight, it seemed.
He is waiting for us, Dunk knew.
Bennis of the Brown Shield was waiting up as well. They found him sitting on the tower steps, chewing sour leaf and honing his longsword in the moonlight. The slow scrape of stone on steel carried a long way. However much Ser Bennis might neglect his clothes and person, he kept his weapons well.
The lunk comes back, Bennis said. Here I was sharpening my steel to go rescue you from that Red Widow.
Where are the men?
Treb and Wet Water on the roof standing watch in case the widow comes to call. The rest crawled into bed, whimpering. Sore as sin they are. I worked them hard. Drew a little blood off that big lackwit, just to make him mad. He fights better when he's mad.
He smiled his brown and red smile.
Nice bloody lip you got. Next time don't go turning over rocks. What did the woman say?
She means to keep the water, and she wants you as well for cutting that digger by the dam.
Thought she might, Bennis spat. Lot of bother for some peasant. He ought to thank me. Women like a man with scars.
You won't mind her slitting your nose, then?
Bugger that. If I wanted my nose slit, I'd slit it for myself.
He jerked a thumb up.
He'll find Ser Useless in his chambers, brooding on how great he used to be.
Egg spoke up.
He fought for the Black Dragon.
Dunk could have given the boy a clout, but the brown knight only laughed.
Course he did. Just look at him. He strike you as the kind who picks the winning side?
No more than you, else you wouldn't be here with us.
Dunk turned to Egg.
Tend to Thunder and Maester, and then come up and join us.
When Dunk came up through the trap, the old knight was sitting by the hearth in his bedrobe, though no fire had been laid. His father's cup was in his hand, a heavy silver cup that had been made for some Lord Oscree, back before the conquest. A checky lion adorned the bowl, done in flakes of jade and gold, though some of the jade flakes had gone missing. At the sound of Dunk's footsteps, the old knight looked up and blinked like a man waking from a dream.
Ser Duncan, you are back. Did the sight of you give Lucas Inchfield pause, Ser?
Not as I saw, my lord. More like it made him wroth.
Dunk told it all as best he could, though he omitted the part about Lady Hellicent, which made him look an utter fool. He would have left out the clout, too, but his broken lip had puffed up twice its normal size, and Ser Eustace could not help but notice. When he did, he frowned.
Your lip.
Dunk touched it gingerly.
Her ladyship gave me a slap.
She struck you?
His mouth opened and closed.
She struck my envoy?
who came to her beneath the Cheki lion, she dared lay hands upon your person?
Only the one hand, sir. It stopped bleeding before we even left the castle. He made a fist. She wants Ser Benis, not your silver, and she won't take down the dam. She showed me a parchment with some writing on it, and the king's own seal. It said the stream is hers, and... He hesitated. She said that you were... that you had risen with the black dragon. Ser Eustace seemed to slump.
I feared she might. If you wish to leave my service, I will not stop you.
The old knight gazed into his cup, though what he might be looking for, Dunk could not say.
You told me your sons died fighting for the king.
And so they did. The rightful king, Demon Blackfire, the king who bore the sword.
The old man's mustache quivered.
The men of the Red Dragon call themselves the Loyalists, but we who chose the Black were just as loyal once. Though now, all the men who marched beside me to seat Prince Demon on the Iron Throne have melted away like morning dew. Mayhaps I dreamed them. Or more like Lord Bloodraven and his raven's teeth have put the fear in them. They cannot all be dead.
Dunk could not deny the truth of that. Until this moment, he had never met a man who'd fought for the Pretender.
I must have, though. There were thousands of them. Half the realm was for the Red Dragon, and half was for the Black. Both sides fought valiantly, Ser Arlen always said.
He thought the old knight would want to hear that. Ser Eustace cradled his wine cup in both hands.
If Demon had ridden over Gawain Corbray, if Fireball had not been slain on the eve of battle, if Hightower and Tarbeck and Oakheart and Butterwell had lent us their full strength instead of trying to keep one foot in each camp, if Manfred Lothston had proved true instead of treacherous, if storms had not delayed Lord Bracken's sailing with the Mirish crossbowmen, if Quickfinger had not been caught with the stolen dragon's eggs, so many ifs, sir. Had any one come out differently, it could all have turned other way. Then we would cold be the Loyalists, and the Red Dragons would be remembered as men who fought to keep the usurper Daeron the Falseborn upon his stolen throne, and failed.
That's as it may be, my lord, said Dunk. But things went the way they went. It was all years ago, and you were pardoned.
Aye, we were pardoned, so long as we bent the knee and gave him a hostage to ensure our future loyalty. Daeron forgave the traitors and the rebels.
His voice was bitter.
I bought my head back with my daughter's life. Alisanne was 7 when they took her off to King's Landing, and 20 when she died, a silent sister. I went to King's Landing once to see her, and she would not even speak to me, her own father. A king's mercy is a poisoned gift. Daeron Targaryen left me life, but took my pride and dreams and honor.
His hand trembled, and wine spilled red upon his lap, but the old man took no notice of it.
I should have gone with Bittersteel into exile, or died beside my sons and my sweet king. That would have been a death worthy of a Cheki lion descended from so many proud lords and mighty warriors. Daeron's mercy made me smaller.
In his heart, the black dragon never died,
Dunk realized. My lord? It was Egg's voice. The boy had come in as Ser Eustace was speaking of his death. The old knight blinked at him as if he were seeing him for the first time.
Yes, lad, what is it?
If it please you, the Red Widow says you rebelled to get her castle. That isn't true, is it?
A castle? He seemed confused. Coldmoat was promised me by Demon, yes, but it was not for gain, no.
Then why?
Asked Egg.
Why?
Ser Eustace frowned.
Why were you a traitor if it wasn't just the castle?
Ser Eustace looked at Egg a long time before replying.
You are only a young boy. You would not understand.
Well, said Egg, I might.
Treason is only a word. When two princes fight for a chair where only one may sit, great lords and common men alike must choose.
and when the battle's done, the victors will be hailed as loyal men and true, whilst those who were defeated will be known forevermore as rebels and traitors. That was my fate.
Egg thought about it for a time.
Yes, my lord, only King Daeron was a good man. Why would you choose demon?
Daeron. Sir Eustace almost slurred the word, and Dunk realized he was half drunk.
Daeron was spindly and round of shoulder, with a little belly that wobbled when he walked. Demon stood straight and proud, and his stomach was flat and hard as an oaken shield, and he could fight. With axe or lance or flail, he was as good as any knight I ever saw, but with the sword, he was the warrior himself. When Prince Demon had Blackfyre in his hand, there was not a man to equal him. Not Ulric Dane with Dawn, no, nor even the Dragon Knight with Dark Sister. You can know a man by his friend's egg. Daeron surrounded himself with maesters, septons, and singers. Always there were women whispering in his ear, and his court was full of Dornishmen. How not when he had taken a Dornish woman into his bed, and sold his own sweet sister to the Prince of Dorne, though it was Demon that she loved? Daeron bore the same name as the young dragon, but when his Dornish wife gave him a son, he named the child Baelor, after the feeblest king who ever sat the Iron Throne. Demon, though. Demon was no more pious than a king need be, and all the great knights of the realm gathered to him. It would suit Lord Bloodraven if their names were all forgotten, so he has forbidden us to sing of them. But I remember Rob Rain, Gareth the Grey, Sir Aubrey Ambrose, Lord Gorman Peak, Black Byron Flowers, Red Tusk, Fireball, Bitter Steel. I ask you, has there ever been such a noble company, such a roll of heroes? Why, lad? You ask me why. Because Demon was the better man. The old king saw it, too. He gave the sword to Demon Blackfyre, the sword of Aegon the Conqueror, the blade that every Targaryen king had wielded since the conquest. He put that sword in Demon's hand the day he knighted him, a boy of 12.
My father says that was because Demon was a swordsman, and Daeron never was, said Egg. Why give a horse to a man who cannot ride? The sword was not the kingdom, he says.
The old knight's hand jerked so hard that wine spilled from his silver cup.
Your father is a fool.
He is not,
the boy said. Oskri's face twisted in anger.
You asked a question and I answered it, but I will not suffer insolence. Sir Duncan, you should beat this boy more often. His courtesy leaves much to be desired. If I must needs do it myself, I will no.
Dunk broke in.
You won't, sir.
He had made up his mind.
It is dark. We will leave at first light.
Sir Eustace stared at him stricken.
Leave. Stand fast. Your service.